Glory, Jesus, have us mighty. Yes, nothing can harm when He is the way. Sunshine or shadow, what a heavenly world. Jesus, my Savior, is my all in all. Hallelujah, blessed be the holy name, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Lord, we bless thy name. We thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. We thank you for this place. Thank you, Lord, for granting us, Lord, this privilege and the grace and the mercy, Father, coming to the light of thy truth, Lord, of thy salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that redemptive work that you have accomplished, Father, in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Thou which, Father, Lord, we will be forever lost from thee, Lord. But we thank you that, Lord, you reconcile the world back to yourself through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, being a part of the family of God. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. Come break the bread of life to us, Lord, this morning. Lord, open our minds to the understanding of the word in the hour that we live in, Lord. Father, we thank you for truth. Thank you for the living ministry. Thank you for life. Thank you for whatever you have been to us, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless us too, Father, as we sit under your feet now. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. The Lord bless you and be seated. To the book of Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 to 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting for God, make known to all nations for the obedience of faith to God only, wise the glory to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Here, of course, Paul, in his conclusion in the doxology, he remind the people concerning the mystery that God has given him. The mystery that God revealed to him concerning the grafting in of the Gentiles into the olive tree. Now we are continuing what we left off last week. To establish the fact that there is only one household of God, not two. You know, we are living in this last part of the closing of God's grace age, or we call the church age, that we begin to see a lot of false teaching, a lot of strange doctrine coming into the Christian churches. Not only, of course, throughout the denomination, but we are talking particularly, especially about the end time message assemblies. We know that God has given us 2,000 years of the grace age, where the Gentiles are given the gospel. God blinded the eyes of the Jews when they backslid, so to say. They began to slide away from the gospel that were being preached to them, and they were giving heed to seducing spirits of all kinds of doctrine that began to come in upon the scene. And of course, even the days of John, if you read John's epistle, he said that they are already the spirit of Antichrist. The strange doctrine, they say that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. And he said that there are those that come to you preaching that Christ did not come in the flesh. Now, don't receive him. There are those that were believing that Jesus Christ came in the form of a theophany. And therefore, if you are in the form of a theophany, if Christ was in the form of a theophany, he could not have possibly died on the cross. And there are those, of course, like in the Islam faith or the Muslim faith, they believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet, that the one that died on the cross was not the real one. Something of that sort. But that's why he can come by and he judged the world. And so this is a kind of doctrine that was already propagated in the days of the apostles. So because of the Jews, because they could not begin to accept the gospel,
And they were still holding on to the law. God sent Paul to the Gentiles. And that's the reason why we studied last week that Israel is known as the natural olive tree. Is that right? And we, the Gentiles, are the wild olive tree. And so we were grafted into this natural olive tree. So the space of all these nearly 2,000 years, so to speak, is known as the grace age to us, or to many, or to many of us, also the church age, which consists of seven church ages, seven periods. But we also know that this is what Paul was talking about when he talked about the mystery of God being made known to him. This is the mystery which has Paul in his conclusion here in this passage of scripture in Romans, that he says right here in verse 26, But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, referring to the Old Testament prophets, while you read the book of Revelation, the mystery of God is fulfilled. Is that right? And it was spoken, you know, revealed to the God's servants, the prophets, referring to the Old Testament. Now, a lot of people in this end time message could not see this, and they're thinking that the mystery of God is something to do with the mystery of godliness. No. The mystery of godliness has already been revealed in the days of Paul. So there was nothing that is so mysterious about the mystery of godliness. And the mystery of the Godhead has nothing to do with the mystery of God as what Paul was talking about or in the book of Revelation. Because the mystery of Godhead was made known to the people. The Jews do not believe in the Trinity. The Trinity came about only when the church of Rome formalized that doctrine at Nicene Council in 325 AD. So then the mystery of God has nothing to do with any particular mystery, just that which was a mystery which was not revealed until Paul was given that knowledge. That what the Old Testament prophet was talking about, all over the place in the Old Testament you see, how did God talk about the light will come to the Gentile through Israel? You read that over in Isaiah, you can see that. You see, in Malachi, in a secret place, if they wrote about it carefully, you can understand it. And also, how in the Old Testament, the what they call the proselyting of the Gentiles, or anybody who are non-Jew, into Judaism, were also got into the household of Israel. And then what we also began to see then, of course, when Colinius, a Gentile, was brought in. Now, you know, Peter at that time couldn't understand. The disciples, none of them understood why a Gentile could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You understand that? They couldn't understand that. And only when Paul was given this revelation, he knew then that this mystery that God was talking about in the Old Testament was the grafting in of the Gentiles to the natural olive tree. When God blinded the Jew, and remember the Bible said that some of the branches was cut off, that the Gentile will be grafted in. So there is a remnant still in Israel. So we realize that there is still one household of God, the wall of partition being broken down. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21. Onwards. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world of wisdom knew not God. Now this is talking about the world, it's talking about the Gentile world. It's not about the Jew. This is a book written to the Corinthians. They are all messed up. They are all confused. Remember? Alright? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world of wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign. So I'm reading, I'm reading Corinthians. Colossians 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. And that's the same thing over here in Colossians. They were still all Gentile people. Most of the believers here were Gentiles. All those epistles that Paul wrote to, they were all Gentile churches. In those Gentile churches, remember there are also some Jews. Huh? And some of those who were already proselyting to Judaism, they were also converted to Christianity or to the faith. So now Paul is writing mainly to the Gentiles or the people of the world. And you that were sometimes alien and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh to death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and did not move away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I Paul make a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, here again we are looking at it, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generation, but is now made manifest to his saints. What mystery is this talking about? There's only but one mystery that Paul is always talking about, is that the Gentile is now coming into the light of the gospel that was given to the Jews. Remember, Jesus, when he came, he says, I am but sent to seek for the lordship of the house of Israel. He didn't go looking for the Gentiles. The Syrophoenician woman that came, isn't it? Even the Samaritan woman, I mean, she was half Jew, no doubt about it. But God wanted her, him, Jesus, to go there to Samaria, because there was a woman waiting for him to hear the word at Jacob's well. So we began to see this coming in the, even in the ministry of Christ. But here that he began to make known to Paul, this mystery of the light that the Jews have that is coming to the Gentiles, where God would draw the Gentile into the household of Israel. There is only one household of God, not two. You know, you can hear sometimes this new doctrine that comes in. You just wonder, where on earth they get that idea? That God had two wives. Well, in the same, we can see, yes, you have a Jewish wife and a Gentile wife, so to speak, yes. Yes, we got it. We can, if you want to talk about terms like this. Isn't it? Right? God took Israel as his own wife. Now, when it comes to the Gentile, it is said that God did not take a Gentile wife. It's Jesus Christ that took the Gentile wives. So you begin to scratch your head a little bit. God had an Israel wife, it's the Jewish wife, but his son had a Gentile wife. So yeah, people begin to think, now what on earth is that we are talking about here? Two personalities. One have a Gentile wife, one have a Jewish wife. But you know, when God used terminology such as wife, bride, virgins, wheat, and all this, he is talking about certain people that are only manifest in different scenario. You understand that? Or certain events. You understand what I'm saying? It's still the same person. Now I'm a husband. And my wife is around. I'm a father when my son is around. I'm a preacher when you are around. Isn't it? I'm a passenger in the plane when I'm in the plane. So you, when you're talking about a certain relationship in a certain term, then you play a different part. You are known differently. Am I not right? John, you are a brother to me, isn't it? In Christ Jesus. Huh? But certain John is not my husband. Couldn't be to anybody else's husband except to his own wife Lucy, isn't it? Am I not right? John could not be my son, obviously. So when the Bible talked about the Old Testament, God had said to Israel that you are my wife. You know, he used terminology because of a relationship. But yet also God said, you are my people, a chosen people. Now, you're talking about wife. My wife is my wife. It could not be a people, could it? Your children are your children, could not be a people to you, could it? Couldn't be. But then when you use people, you use in a different sense. So when the Lord came over, gave the gospel to Israel, Israel rejected the gospel of God to the Jew, I mean to the Gentiles. Right? But you know, God reconciling the world to Himself. God is getting a family of people. But in using words relationship that you are the blood of Christ. Sure, of course. Why? Because God is using pictures to show us in the Old Testament how the early, how that Moses, Abraham was a type of the father, sending Eliezer the type of the spirit, go and get a bride for Rebecca, for Isaac, who was the type of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So we see types and shadow here to fulfill something that we can understand. We are God's saints. Yeah, we are God's children. Yeah, we are His beloved. He's our beloved. He's our Father as well too, isn't it? Strange, isn't it? Father, yet the lover, yet the King, yet the Master. And yet He's a friend. And yet He's a Savior. All these terminologies, it has relation to certain things in particular. So there is no such thing as God taking two wives. Literally, in any sense of word, spiritually, but in terminology, referring to the Jew one time, referring to the Gentile. But when Paul said God has broken down the wall of partition and made the whole family, the commonwealth of Israel, one. One household of God. Am I not right? Sure, in the days when we go over to the other side, I'm still as Chinese as I'm Chinese. And this brother here, he's African, he's still be African. And here, brother Kali, he's Indian, he's still be Indian, obviously. We all don't change color. Oh, zoom! Everybody one color. It's not going to be so, you understand? We will be not as, we are not, but we are one family of God. You know, if we're all one color, the whole world is one color, you know. Then we all don't know, we don't know what's what. What happened? If the whole world is just one color, it's very dread, isn't it? Huh? Just go back to, go and look into the world when you are back in the 40s, 30s, when the camera first took picture, you're all in sepias. You know, tone all light little brownish color. You want the world to be like that? No, obviously. God is a God of creation of colors. But we are only one family. So Paul here is saying this. The mystery which has been hid from the ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, we are not a people of God. A Gentile, we are not. We are alien from God. You know, but you know, when God do something, He has His own plan. As I said before, we don't ask questions. Why God did this, this way, this way, this way. You know, if He did it anywhere that you want Him to do, everybody else will be asking the question, why must He do it the way you want it? But God has to start a point, as I said. So after the flood, He chose Abraham. And of all things, Abraham wasn't even a Jew because there were no Jews then. He was just born as a Hebrew, a person from the other side of the river Euphrates. Coming down south, across the river, defending down to Canaan land. Oh, they were Hebrew. They are Hebrew. They are from the other side. Like here, we always say about, you know, we here, we are Singaporean Chinese. And then when the Chinese from China come over here, there's a differentiation, right? Huh? Even the Indians say, oh, this one is from China. Right? Even though we are all Chinese, but there is a difference. They say this one is national Chinese from the other side. Isn't it so? Sure. And those pure Indian, coming from India and migrate here and India, there is a difference between that kind of Indian as that of Brother Kati here, who is a Singaporean Indian. Sure. You see. So when Abraham came down, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't Israel because there wasn't any Israelite yet. And there was to this one man, that's what Paul was talking about, the mystery, God had hid in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Huh? That's why you see, Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. Isn't it? And yet we are all Israel. We are Israel because we are circumcised in our heart. Huh? We have the same faith as Abraham. Though we have the faith of Abraham accounted for Israel as the citizen of Israel. Not because you are circumcised in the flesh, but you are circumcised in the heart. So the mystery were all there in the Old Testament in various places. Now he says here, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is, God is giving you this gospel so that you can have Christ in you. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving to according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as we have not seen my face in the flesh, Laodicea. I think this is only one particular time the word Laodicea is mentioned, the church is mentioned. You know, we are living in a Laodicean age. You know, the people there are as confused as those in the days of Paul too, when they were all messed up. That your heart might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, through the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, which is God in Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of, or the word and of, you should put it in brackets so you will read it and understand it easily. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing word. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In him also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Well, that's why here Paul talking about you now. The circumcision of the heart. A spiritual circumcision. The circumcision of Christ. Now, that's what Paul talking about this ministry, the mystery of God. He come always to this one point. Always relating it to Abraham. Relating to the circumcision. Why Malachi 4, 5 and 6? Why is it so hard for people in denomination to accept it? Because they don't recognize the mystery that is hid in those few verses. Behold, I'll say to you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming and the great of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the heart of the children to the father. The problem here, the people are trying to say, hey, this is all scriptures for Israel, for the Jew, and nothing to do with Gentile. Do you know from Genesis right up to Malachi, all those were written by Jews for the Jews? I say, yeah, amen. But don't you find yourself Gentile right in there? Did not God say about the light coming to us through them? That if it's all for them, then we don't have anything there. Isn't it? Then what if Malachi talks about that? He's talking about turning the heart. Because God said, I will no longer write my words on tablet of stone. You remember? Which God gave to Israel on Mount Sinai. He said, no, I will no longer write my words on tablets of stone, a piece of paper and scroll. But I will write my words in the hearts of men. The heart. To turn the heart. That's what Malachi 4, 5 and 6 has to do with the church. The church. Nothing to do with Israel in itself altogether completely. But in all prophecy, there is always a dual prophecy, a composite prophecy, or what you call a compound prophecy hidden there. As much as it was that God would send truly Elijah and Moses back in the day when the two witnesses come to turn them back to the faith again when they begin to preach. Sure, that passage is for the turning of the heart of God's children back to the apostolic father too. Do you see that? So here we always remember this. It's the circumcision, the heart. To make us one with God in Abraham. The Jews can claim Abraham was their father. Hey, we more so, you know that? Because of the circumcision, because of the faith that Abraham had, which the Jews don't even see because God blinded them. That God may graft us into it.
to the commonwealth of Israel. Alright, let's look at it. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who have raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sin and uncircumcision of your flesh, have quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taking it out of the way, namely to his cross. And having spoiled and spelled, now remember that, in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. There are many things in the law of ordinances that are contrary to us. But God no longer used it. He just hang it on the cross. But not all laws and ordinances that those that are not contrary to us are still here. That's why a woman must remain woman. You understand that? Woman must dress like woman. Men dress like men. Do you understand that? You know, I was reading an email from a brother who just sent it to me last night. He said he went to a church and the pastor resigned from the church after pastoring for some 10 years. Saying that the pastor resigned was because the woman, the sister in the church, was too much for him to handle. They cut her hair, they comb her hair, they dress not proper. So the pastor resigned. You know what I mean? I'm saying this, I'm a pastor and preacher here. I only can preach what the truth to you. If you don't dress right, behave right and all this, you are answerable to God. Not me. I don't have to resign because you all don't dress right. I will preach. And if you have any conscience of the spiritual man that is in you, if you are born again, you will do right things. Is that alright? Hopefully you will be a man who look into the mirror and you see all the black mark on his face and walk away. Do nothing to his face. Try to walk around the street with all your, you know, after you have your lunch, with all that around your, you know, all that sores around your lips and cheeks or whatever it is. You go to the toilet and you look and you laugh at it. You say, nice, nice. And you walk around the street and see people look at you. What kind of man is that? What kind of woman that be? Having seen the word of God, the truth, the mirror of God's word, turn around and just walk as nothing happened. You are answerable to God, not me. Don't preach the word, that's all that I'm doing. That's it. Because I don't force him. But you know, I was thinking the pastor, why should he resign because of that? Who wants the day? It's the devil. The pastor just jumped off the bandwagon and says, I give up. No, couldn't handle the wagon. The chop wagon is running too fast. You know, I can't hold all this to all this thing that is in it. Sad, isn't it? Sad. We are responsible for our own, how we stand before the Lord. I cannot answer for you. In a day you will be answerable to God. Amen? And if we are serious about the world, we want to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Look how close are we now. We are in 2004. And the target age, the target year, as many Christians are looking forward to the return of Christ, is not beyond 2006. Huh? You know, you are living from day to day now. What are you looking at? Then maybe the Lord will not come next year. Oh, maybe he would have come 2006. Look at the world. Yeah, you know, Singapore, the government is going to build all the housing port or whatever private property developer. They may be going to build two nice, wonderful condominiums out there in the island somewhere or somewhere in the city, you know, things like that. So it could not be. You know that one? That is going to be complete by the year 2006. Then you look at other projects, what other countries are going to do. You see, oh, the world is going to go on some more, you know. Don't you think so? Don't you think so? It looks like the world is going to go on. Now, scientists have built a rocket. No, I wouldn't call it a rocket, a spaceship. They could take off the Earth from the Earth and go out into outer space and cover it by itself. You don't have to carry on a jumbo and launch it or out there in Cape Canaveral, you know. You understand that? Look at what they have done. And maybe in next year, you're going to have, no longer going to use your mobile phone. You don't have to use a mobile phone anymore. How do they put a piece in the ear and have it in the watch? They trace it up. Huh?
Or just a thick tracing watch. You don't have to carry the handphone. Remember the handphone? When he first came out, it was a giant size. You know how huge that was? Motorola. Huge. Walkie-talkie like the one they use in the army. The one you throw and you drop it, still walkie. But now it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's so small until you're going to wear it on your watch, on your wrist. And not only that, you can see the one you're talking to on that screen. Now all the hard things is hard help in development. You see how fast mankind progresses? He looks at the world, it's getting better. But the world continues the way it is, it seems. It gets more wicked as they go by. And they have polluted the world, they have damaged the world, the environment and so on in many ways. The Bible talks about pestilences. Here we have SARS and the bird flu and the cow disease and I don't know what else they're going to come out with now. You think the world's going to last? Young people, my heart goes out to you because you are living in a generation that got a high-tech machine. In our days when I was young, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, hey, we don't even know what a television is. Huh? Is it? And when it comes out, it wasn't a square little rectangular box, it was a round little thing. Black and white, round thing, you know? And those are what do we play? Games. We fly kites. We play bubbles. Hopscop. Right. Today what do you all play? Toy. Not only computer game. You put it all going through the machine with you dress like a spaceman, hook over your eyes, you go into 3D dimension, you know what I mean? And you move around like, whoa. You know, you have all these great things in this generation. But you know, as much as you have all this technology, where do you stand in the eyes of God? What is your relationship with God the Father? What is your relationship with Him? The one who created you. The Bible says, sure, as the world abounds in sin, grace of God will do more abound in your life. Will you yield yourself to Him? He says, Lord, help me. Guide me to continue walking with you. Teach me thy way, O Lord. We learn to live for Christ. I know the things of the world is very captivating. It is. It's very captivating. You see. But I'm glad I'm getting, you know, into the age far away from all these youngsters things. If I were your age now, I might be in these things too, you know, and struggling, you know. But in my days, back in the 30 years ago when I was in my 20s and 30s, yeah, there was a lot of captivating things too. But I learned to look for the things that is eternal. Because this whole world I see is going to pass away. It won't last. So what then? Huh? In the twinkling of an eye, the whole thing collapsed. That's finished. So, look at ourselves. When we see the Word of God, when we know what the Word of God demands, let us walk in it. Amen? Alright, let's continue with it. Verse 15. Having spoiled principality and powers, he make a show of them, opening coming over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon and of the Sabbath day, which are shadows of things to come by the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, instructing intruding into those things which you have not seen, verily passed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiment of the world, why are you living in the world? Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to the perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which thing have indeed a show of wisdom in you, worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. In all this, Paul is making a distinction between what the Jews were going through with all their rituals, as to those who are circumcised in the Spirit, who have the grace of God, moving away from all the unnecessary trapped in all the ritualistic worship, in obeying the traditions and the commandments of men. Alright?
So now we see what Paul talks about. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Now, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation to communicate with them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but probably to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of the false brethren unaware brought in who came in privately to spite of our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now here we have a situation of a case when Paul went up to Jerusalem and then had a confrontation with Peter in front of some of the elders. Now when Paul was sent to the Gentiles, you know, you must understand first of all the life of Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know what he did to those who believed before he was converted? So one day on the way to Damascus, the Lord Christ appeared to him and blinded his eye. And then the Lord spoke to him what he must do, how that he would have to suffer for him. So when Agabus prayed for him, and I was healed. And then Paul spent some 3 years out in the wilderness somewhere, and by the revelation that the Lord began to teach him. Isn't it? You understand that? Now, you know, when he appeared in the Jerusalem council, the first council ever taken place, after Cornelius and some of the Gentiles came to the gospel, the people were confused as what to do with this group of Gentiles. They could not believe that the Gentiles could have the Holy Spirit. And so they had a meeting there with Peter and all the rest of the other, the apostles. And James, of course, a brother of Jesus Christ, was the pastor of their church. So after much discussion, and now Paul was there. You know, Paul was standing there. Paul did not open his mouth because he was just a prophet and a teacher at that time. He was not even elevated to the position of an apostle. He was not even called an apostle yet. The Bible called him a prophet and a teacher. Like Barnabas. So Paul was there. And all the others of the elders sit in a circle perhaps and begin to discuss about this problem. Now in the end of all this discussion, finally, James stood up and said, you know, okay, we will just, you know, write them a letter and tell them not to take food offered to idol, not to take blood, and keep away from fornication. Is that right? Do you understand that? And saying that, well, they need not be circumcised. That was good. But you know, there are some Pharisees that were converted. They were not happy with this. You can read that over in the epistle of Paul in Ephesians, in Galatia. You see that some of these converted Jews, the Pharisees, those of the strict orders, they were not happy with this. They want the Gentiles to be circumcised. And you know, the Pharisees is a big denomination at that time. So when you get a bunch of them converted to the gospel, they still hold to those things. That's why even at the council, Peter and all these apostles, they still were holding to the law. Why did they have to write a letter to the Gentiles and tell them not to fornicate? You know, keep away from fornicating, keep away from idols, and don't eat blood. And things strangled. Why? These are laws. But now Paul was standing there and he didn't say nothing. And I believe at that time, Paul already knew all that which God had told him about grace. That he has taken all the law, all the things that are contrary to us, and hang it up there on the cross. Paul did not say no word, because after all, he was not a big fry, so to speak. You understand? He was not a big guy, so to speak. He was not of the original 12, so to speak. So Paul took the letter and told the Gentiles what those elders said in Jerusalem, the headquarters said it, so they followed it. But you know, as Paul began to minister the gospel to the Jews, they began to move away from him. I guess they find him too liberating. his life. You know, there's too much liberty in Paul, you know. So they began to move away from him and say, no, we don't have that disgust. So they began to hold on to more of the law. And then finally, you know, the Jew were blinded. And God said to Paul, I'll send you to the Gentile. So Paul went to the Gentile. Now, when Paul went to the Gentile, there were not two gospels, for goodness sake. There are people that come and say, Peter preached a gospel to the Jew, Paul preached the gospel to the Gentile. Yes, we know Paul was sent to the Gentile. Peter was explaining his views of God to the Jew. But there were not two different gospels. Paul did not preach the gospel of law. Neither did Peter preach the gospel of law. He was just preaching the gospel. But the Jews were always holding on to their tradition and their ritual. They cannot be liberated. They still want to hold on to those things. Now you know when you hold on to those things, you're so much become a slave to those things. But you just have to do it. Look at the Catholic. Look at the Roman Catholic Church. People come to church, they're bound by certain things. They go there, come into the church, there's always a little water, a little container that has some holy water in it. They have to touch it, and then the sound of the cross, being, you know? Is that right? And then they will go through, then they go and look at a white candle, take a white candle, light a light, and then put it on some, I don't know, some shrine, some, maybe the Virgin Mary, usually the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, oh, she loves us so much, you know? So they believe that, so, well, they do that. You see, it's all the ritual. They are bound by the ritual. And every time they have, when they see a lightning strike, ooh, the sign of the cross must be done. In case they get struck down by it or something. And then they will have the rosary, and then they will pray using the rosary. It's a ritualistic performance. They are bound by it. A certain day, Lent, I don't know what else, St. Christopher Day, St. Jerome Day, whatever, they have to go and conduct the ritual. You see, you are bound by it. People are bound by it. Hey, saints of God, we are liberated. But the Spirit of God is liberty. You don't have to be bound by certain law. You are being guided by the Spirit. Liberty doesn't mean that, being that you are selfish, doesn't mean that you can do anything you like, you know. You can do anything you like within the confine of the Word and the Spirit of God's leading. That's never liberty. Somebody comes, hey, as a Christian, you must do this. I say, hey, where's that in the Bible? I don't have to do that if I want to. You know, hey, the Bible says you cannot eat blood. Oh, yeah, that's the Old Testament. Don't you know that? That's the law. You cannot eat chicken sangin. That's the law. You cannot eat crab. That's the law. Isn't it? You understand that? Things that contrary has been done away with. Paul says, anything that is put before you on a table, eat it. Don't ask any silly question. Huh? The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So whatever is set before you, eat it. Do you understand? Oh, this one is, this food is offered to idol. You shouldn't eat it. What did Paul say about it? What is an idol? Isn't it? What's an idol? Sanctify the food with a prayer. And eat it. Huh? But the liberty doesn't mean that you can go around doing it like that when you might cause even a stumbling block over a brother and a sister. So be careful that your liberty did not become a stumbling block. Do you understand that? Okay, let's continue that now. Because of, and verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unaware brought in, who came in private despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place. By subjection, no, not even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in with you. And of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it make no matter to me, God accept no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, had nothing to me, whether it's a big guy or whatever, who are how important name maybe, that doesn't affect me. But contrary wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mightily in me toward the Gentiles. Now here, Paul talk about how God used Peter and how God used him. But they were not two different gospels. The gospel that Paul preached and Peter preached is the same gospel. Only that God used Peter in such a way as for the Jew. because they would hear him, being that they know him that he was with Christ, all those years, and he was a big fisherman, he was the one who spoke on the day of Pentecost, they sort of respect the man. But Paul, they knew Paul was the one who went around catching all those believers and put them in the prison and bring them to judgment. Is that right? You understand that now? But only that, you know, when the court and the chamber, the chamber will listen to him because they knew that this guy was once the sinners, the chiefest of sinners. They will only hear him now. Do you understand? And because, as I said, that you always want to hold the law, you cannot change them. Very hard to change them. You take the person out of the world to become a Christian, but it's easy to do that, but it's very hard to take the world out of the Christian. Do you understand this thing? Huh? So that's why, when we look into the scripture here, why do they have the council in Jerusalem? It's because those apostles were still very much traditional. Still holding too much of the law. It's very hard to then pull it out. But Paul has seen the whole thing. He has saw complete grace. All these things are done away with. It's already, you know, brought to the cross and nailed there. That's no longer a ritual for the Passover. Because the Passover was already fulfilled by the Lamb of God. There's no more ritual for all these other ritualistic cleansing or anything like that. Do you understand? But Paul, if they want to do it, Paul didn't go against those things. Like today, we can go, as I said, you know, to a synagogue. You know what I mean? And to see how they conduct the thing and want to follow them, put on the skull cap. Yeah, go ahead. You know what I mean? Huh? And if they have their Feast of Tabernacles, you want to join them, go ahead. You see? Purim, the festival set up by Esther's time. Yeah, you want to do it, have it that way, go ahead. It's all right, just festivals. But that shouldn't be something that hold the put a person in bondage, they must do it. No. You see? The only ordinances that Christians are required to do it is water baptism. It's communion. And foot washing. Those are the three things that we do. That's only the three ordinances. The only thing that we do in our life. We are baptized once and for all. That's it. You understand? Communion. Yeah, the Bible said, do it as often as Antichrist returns. Is that right? So the same thing with foot washing. Do you see this thing now? Huh? But there's only one as concerning the feast of Jehovah, which the children of Israel had seven of them. We only have one. The Bible said, let us keep the feast. And that feast is the eating of God's word. Remember that we must eat the word of God. Remember, we are living last day when the mighty angel has already come. Purusha has started. And the book is already an open book. And you are supposed to eat it. Remember, eat the little book that is open. That's the only feast Paul talks about in Romans that we must keep. Eat it. And yet people are not eating the word of God today. Another confusion last night, I received an email. The brother was having a confrontation, a problem with one of his members. Over, you know, the issue how the dead in Christ will rise. This pastor said that, you know, the brother said that, Brother Branham said that the dead in Christ will rise at the voice of the archangel. You know? And yet we know the Bible said the dead in Christ will only rise at the last trump. You see? And so the brother said, how do you see this thing to help this brother and help me also? I said, Brother quote. He quote the Bible. But that was just a quote. We all know the Lord said, but that will be the sound, the voice of archangel and with the trump. Is that alright? Is it? But when we call like this, we must place it. We can call the Bible if we don't know how to place it. We just grab it as it is, as I just said. Say what the Bible said literally, you are in trouble. Because you do not know even know how to speak about it literally. Isn't it? Yeah, Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, I also know eternal life. Literally now, you go eat his blood, flesh, and drink his blood. Where are you going to get his blood? It's all on the earth now. And now what happened to the blood? It's gone to cleanse everybody. And those who have the blood of Jesus in their heart, that's where the Spirit of God dwells. is no longer found on the earth in Jerusalem. Huh? What about the flesh of Jesus Christ? Wow, he's resurrected now. What flesh is there? No longer flesh. He has a spiritual body. So it's not a literal thing. Do you understand? Huh? Don't just say exactly what the word says. Say exactly what the prophet said. You have to understand what he meant when he said those things. You see? And then the brother said, you know, brother, I told him that the message is the Bible. The Bible is the message. I said, that's where you are wrong. The message is the message. The Bible is the Bible. The message is not equivalent to the Bible. The message is a pointer. I told him, I said, now in the Old Testament, all those prophets, they all had a message. But their message is not the Bible. The Bible is the whole thing. The whole plan of God, the whole thing that God has concluded as one complete package. All the prophets of the Old Testament, they only spoke in part. Is that right? Paul said the same thing. We all prophesy in part. But when the prophet is come, then all this part will be done away with. Huh? So I told him, I said, all the prophets of the Old Testament, they are pointers. They are pointers. They only spoke in part. They don't have everything. Even Brother Brad said it. What a prophet don't need to know, God give it to somebody else. He said, Baba said, well, I don't need to know, he give it to somebody else. Sure, not everybody has everything, isn't it? People say, oh, Paul had everything. You think so? Did Paul have revelation that John had on the Isle of Patmos? He didn't. Isn't it? Don't see more than what Paul had because he was the last to die. So every one of those are pointers. I said, you cannot say, message of brother equals to the Bible. If it is so, then, if it is equal to the Bible, we don't need the Bible. We need just all those things. How sad can it be when people are doing that thing? You see? You know, sometimes when the thing that is being propagated, don't blame in our generation. In the days of Paul too, they have all kinds of strange doctrines. Paul talks about it in his word. Huh? Hymenaeus, Alexandra, he mentioned those things. So these fellows had caused a lot of problems. You know what? They went around preaching and saying, oh, resurrection is past. It's already gone. Gone. Finished. Well, if it's gone, then what's the use of being a Christian? So a lot of people's faith were destroyed. The rapture is here already. We're in the millennium. No need for communion, no need for foot washing. That's the doctrines of the devil. Devil comes along with all these strange things. Why don't you examine the Bible? Oh, but Brother Brown said it. I know he said it. But do you know how he said it and why he said it? Do you understand why he said it? The way he said it. You understand that? Look at Abraham. God told Abraham, you know, come out from your own kindred and I'll bring you a land. I'm going to make your father many nations. This. Okay? Okay. Fine, got it. You got to promise a son. Yes, Abraham believed a son. He's going to have a son. Yeah, he waited. 25 years later, he got a son. He was jumping up and down and dancing and whatever, he was doing the flip-flop. Then, God said to him, when Isaac was pretty much past his teen, take Isaac now and sacrifice him for me. Now, do you think Abraham had revelation? What about Isaac? On the way up there, Mount Moriah. You know, the Bible didn't tell us much. But do you think there was an argument between Abraham and God? Do you Abraham look at God says, what did you say? Think about it. Say that one more time. I want to hear what you say. You know, so how could it be you promised me? Did he argue with me? No. I can tell you one thing. Abraham knew what God was doing. Abraham knew what he's going to do with Isaac. Because Abraham, if he had the revelation from the beginning that God said, I will give you a seed by which I will make you father of many nations, he knows. If God wants me to sacrifice his son, yes, he must raise him up. Because that through him only will I have my seeds. Isn't it? That's where the revelation lies. Abraham was continuing the faith. He did not at any time stagger in unbelief. Even after the son was born, he continued. If God is God, if he said the seed will come from being father of many nations,
then God must raise him up, even as he plunged the knife into the throat of his son. Abraham knew what God said. And today when we hear messages preached, we hear what the prophet of God said. Do you know what he's saying? Huh? Do we know what he's saying? You know what I heard? Very sad, you know. Some people go around saying, if the prophet of God tells you that the sky is red, it is red. Even no matter what the science tells you. Remember years ago, 20, 30 years ago, I told the whole church, I said, you know what, the way that this Brahmanism is going, if there is any way in the message of Brother Branham, if there is one statement about Abraham said God is five gods, I said they will believe it also. And true enough, isn't it? To hear a man state that if Abraham said the sky is red, don't argue about it, it is red, even those signs tell you otherwise. Can you believe that? The Bible says faith is a revelation. And you can say, what prophets said, Abraham said, if you don't understand, just believe it. There are many things we don't understand, we believe. But there are certain things that our mind knows that we cannot believe in it. That the earth is square. You believe that the earth is square? So then how do you know that the earth is round? If somebody else, who by all great miracles and gifts, demonstrate the power of God, and tell you that the earth is square, would you believe it? What are we looking at? Faith is a revelation. Revelation is something that is revealed to you. No matter who tells you any otherwise, if the revelation is shown by God to you to be true, according to His Word, according to His Word, the supposed, the brethren, the wise, they check it up. They check the Scriptures to find those things that was truly the truth. Isn't that right? Did they check the Scriptures? Or you know, many people go to church about the Bible. But the prophet said it this morning. I'm here, I believe it. They don't read the Bible. They forget about the Bible. That's the reason why we are living in the days when the Bible is no longer being studied. The Bible says study to show thyself proof unto God. Amen. Study! Amen. I know faith cometh by hearing, but you have to study. They better hear what Paul preached. Is that right? They got stimulated. Yeah, Paul said this. Yeah, let's check the Scripture. They're going, they had a foundation there. Is that right? Paul said it. Now they find the foundation is true. They get stronger. Not because Paul said it, and they just don't check the Scripture and believe it. That's the thing about it. That even Jesus Christ said it. Search the Scripture, for in them you find eternal life.
Amen.
Search it, because they are there which satisfy me. Find out whether you have saw that I am the one. Don't just believe it. Search it out. Actually, you know why the Bible is not a treasure book. What Jesus Christ said, you know, about the scribe. If you understand what those parables regarding the kingdom of heaven is all about, says it's like unto a scribe who is able to take out of his treasure box things old and new. Huh? We are living in a tremendous time where the ministry of God is together from the Bible, things old and new, bring it out to light. But the devil is also going to cause problems, going to cause all the mess, come up with strange doctrine and this and that, no matter what. Some people say, how do we know, Brother Gunn, you are telling me the truth? You see, there's been so many churches split because this minister preached this minister preached that, this minister preached this other thing, and the church split. So that's why we don't want to have any pastor, any minister. We just hear the tape of Brother Bram, so we nobody, there will be no split. So you hear the tape of Brother Bram, you wouldn't have a split, of course. But what did you believe? You hear the Brother Bram, you all have your own opinion. That's us all here. 50 of us. Just say, Brother Branham, everyone will have opinion. And nobody say anything. We all go home. Wonderful message, isn't it? Brother Branham said, everybody go home. Next week, here, another sermon. Everybody have a certain opinion because you hear something. Is that right? And you don't speak of anything because you might get a split. What is that then? Fellowship is around the Word of God. Fellowship is sharing. Fellowship is sharing. Everybody in the same sheep. Going in one direction. We all therefore must share how to roll the boat so we can go in the same direction. You understand that? Those on one side, on the left, some on the right, if you all want the right, it's running too fast, too hard,
The board is not going to say it's going to turn. Sure, move around to make it straight. Paul said, when you come to the church, what do? You go, trust me, give it. Isn't that what some singing? Revelation, give it. That is the purpose of fellowship. To come to the knowledge of the truth. Not some strange doctrine we have today. Let's go on here now. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas and Joel, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they give to me, and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they go unto the circumcision. Only they would, that we should remember the poor. The same also I was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that servant came from James, he eat with the Gentiles. And when they were come, he withdrew, and suffered himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise. They did the same, they also withdrew. It's so much that Barnabas, he was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, before them all, if you being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jew, why you compel those Gentiles to live as do the Jew? Now that's strange. Isn't it? Now you are a Jew, then you want to be like a Gentile, then yet you want the Gentile to behave like, to do like the Jew. What are you trying to do, Peter? Why are you playing both sides? Why are you so hypocritical? Hypocritical, you know? Doing the way you are doing. Why? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I do again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself transgressor. If I don't hold, as you say, if I believe what I have, and yet I do control it, then I destroy the faith that I have. For those who are law, I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I get he has to be withstood, Peter. Sometimes even the man, the big fisherman, you know, who's the chief? Peter was the chief among all of those 12, isn't it? You know. Everybody looked up to him. But if he played hypocrisy, Paul went up there and withstood him in the face. And yet, you know, in front of the elders, think for a moment, everybody knew that Paul was a bad guy before. They all feared him when he went around getting all those believers and threw them into prison and brought them before the court to be judged. Everybody fear him. But now Paul has grown, and God has thrust him up into the Gentile world as an apostle to the Gentiles. So when he came and he saw Peter did this thing, hey, Peter, big or not, whoever you are, he had to withstand him. To withstand against him for all that he had done. To cause Barnabas to behave also contrary. Do you understand this? So Peter has his blessing from God to get the gospel to the Jew. Good. Paul had his to the Gentiles. But whatever it is, don't force the Gentiles to be circumcised. Isn't it? Especially if you want to leave the Gentile, don't force them to be circumcised. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10. Here in Revelation chapter 10, we realize this now, that we are living in this last part.
of this mystery of God. Yeah? There are 7 churches, isn't it? Right? 7 churches. Now we are at this empire right here now. I don't know how close there will be before the gospel goes to the Jew. Huh? Here we have, the Bible said in Revelation 10. Now the book of Revelation 10, the book of Revelation is no longer a mystery to us. It is still a mystery to the denomination. Bell did not preach a lot about the Revelation. But all those things that in the Bible, the book of Revelation, could be understood now. Being that it is open up, the seal has been released. It is easier to follow after the seal has been opened up, then you begin to see pictures. But before that, you will not even know how to place it. Alright? Now, Revelation chapter 10. Here the mighty angel came down from heaven. Now we notice who this mighty angel represents. The mighty angels. Not just an angel, mighty angel. And it's so huge in the visions of John. That John saw him put his right foot into the sea. And then his life on the land. And then he cried with a loud voice. And his hand was an open book. Now that open book was a scroll that was in chapter 5. Remember? The one who sat on the throne with the seal, with a book sealed with 7 seals. Is that right? Now there are only 1 set of seals. Don't let somebody else come and tell you there are 2 sets of seals. That's nonsense. People have been going around the world and there's 2 sets of seals. One is inside, one is outside. How do you seal something that is inside? What a seal is, you know, you have a scroll or whatever book you have. You have a scroll. Even the envelope. Huh? When you seal it, you seal on the outside so nobody can open it. So when you seal it in the inside, what do you mean by seal the inside? I don't understand. That's the reason why someone come around and say, oh, there are 2 sets of seals. The first seal was the seal of the Babylon book revealed, open up in 63. The other one is the thunders which on the back side nobody has yet to open up. What is that? What did they get in the Bible? But they come around with that doctrine and confuse the people. There are only 1 set of seals. Alright? Once the seal is open, it's open. Remember this, the scroll is at least about a meter long. An ordinary high school. That's vision of what John saw. Ordinary high school. But in chapter 10, the mighty angel, when he came by, the Bible says in his hand a little scroll. So now, the vision that John saw is super big, so to speak, that of the mighty angel, that the scroll became small in his hand. That's the reason why he could put his feet, 1 foot in the sea, the other on the land. Now if you get an ordinary size angel, which sometimes I saw in some books, you know, they draw a scroll, an angel standing on the seashore, actually. You know, the seashore, when the wave comes, how could your feet be in the sea? It's only on the seashore, and then on the beach, so to speak. How still can it be? But the Bible says, on the sea, and that sea is the Mediterranean Sea. In any vision that you see, it's always talking about the sea is there, in the Mediterranean Sea, they call it the Great Sea. Now that sea is why we have the Gentile world, represent the Gentile world. So the right foot in the sea first, go and come and get the Gentile bride. Because it is the parousia, the mighty angel coming down, is fulfilling Christ descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel and the last trump. This is the parousia of Christ to finish out the taking home that which belonged to him. That little book that was open is the title deed. And we know what the title deed is. The Bible said there's only 1 book of life, and this Bible is the book of life. And now who is the book of life? It's Christ Jesus, isn't he? Is he got the book of life? Sure, he's the word of life. That's why the Hebrew, when God wrote the Bible, he used particular expression, symbols and all this to throw a type here and there for you to see. Jesus Christ said, you are the epistle, being read by all men. Jesus Christ said, in the volume of book, it is written, here's the book of life. When we talk about the book of life, we hold the Bible, it's still on the book of life. If your name is not find the book of life, then you have no eternal life. Did you find a book, your name in the book of life? You should find a book, then, your name there. If you are part of the word, your name is there. Isn't it? You understand that? So he came to take title deed. Now I want to take back all that belongs to me now. The Bible said the word of God. So God said that my word I sent it out will not return unto me empty. It must be fulfilled. Isn't it? So now the title book, the book is revealed now. Christ says, I'm going to come and claim all that belongs to me. That's why when he came, he put his right foot in the sea. The right, you know, always shows grace and mercy. The last food always judgment. That's why when he's going to go back to Israel, he's still going to suffer when Jacob's trouble came, comes along. Right? You understand that now? So when he ran up his hand and cried, someone thundered out of their voices. You know, here is where some has been going on teaching that there is a 13th apostle. Is there a 13th apostle? If you have a 13th apostle, you will have a 13th foundation, in which they believe there is. And they say Paul was the 13th apostle, and there was a 13th foundation. Because Paul says, I lay the foundation. Actually, the Bible says, I lay a foundation. Any apostle who preaches the word of God to lay a foundation, they are laying a foundation. Do you understand that? But when it comes to the gospel, where the church is being built, they are only established by 12 apostles. The Holy City that came down from heaven, how many gates were there? 12 gates. How many foundations were there? 12 foundations. So where do you get a 13th foundation? They said it's inside there. What did the Bible say? That's why somebody came from Australia and passed all that doctrine in those days about the serpent seed, that there was a literal serpent on this earth now. Literal serpent seed on this earth. You believe that? That's nonsense. There's no literal serpent seed. Now we only have the spiritual, the religious one. The old and literal serpent seed, the natural serpent seed, they were all destroyed in the flood. But this man wanted to teach it that there is a literal serpent seed, and they said, there is a serpent seed that crossed the flood. I said, how did he get it? Through the woman. When a woman got pregnant. I said, where? How many went into the ark and how many came out? I said, he says, hey, then where did you get the serpent seed? He says, hiding in the ark. Hiding in the ark! I said, how did he get that? I said, oh, brother, you don't have revelation. I said, I certainly don't have that kind of revelation. Huh? You got a 13 foundation. Where do you get the 13 foundation? Show me in the Bible. Don't insinuate. Don't ever insinuate that thing. We know that in the day of Pentecost, before Pentecost came, the disciples were up there in the upper room. And there were only 11 apostles. Is that right? Who went? Who was lost? Judas Iscariot was not around. He's gone. So they said, okay, now 11 is no good. You know, the Jews don't believe, do not like the number 11. 11 will represent this organization. That's God's numerology. Study it. 12 is God's perfect government. Perfect organization. So that's why they need 12. So okay, what do they do? So okay, let's choose between Matthias and who's the other one? Barnabas. So let us pray about it. And then what do? We cast a lot. You know what I mean by casting lot? It's a gambling, you know. Isn't it so? You know people cast lot. It's not a gambling. One sense of the word. Yeah, but they opened the prayer to God and God asked, so let us pray. Let us cast lot. So the Lord fall upon Matthias. I don't know how many actually fall upon Matthias. You know what I mean? Maybe Matthias, as I said, won by one vote. You know what I mean? You see, that's a man's choice. Matthias was not chosen by God. Who was the one that replaced Judas Iscariot? Was Paul. Some people don't agree with it. I say, you don't have to agree with it. I always see by the light of God's word that when man's action takes place, God's never in it. God never walked with a group. God is never in organization. You can sit down and you can cast your lot. If God don't say, suffer unto me, Barnabas and Paul, then you have nothing. Then you just have what you feel. Do you agree with that? What did God say? Accept unto me in Barnabas and Paul, and so on and so on and so on. See how powerful that is when God comes and says, direct. That's why he went to take Paul. Paul was the one. Nothing else. Nobody else. Not Barnabas. Not Matthias. Matthias is not even mentioned at all in the gospel. Huh? He's not even mentioned at all in all the other epistles. As far as I can remember. You see. And yet, Paul, when he came, they said he was a 13th apostle. If you have a 13th apostle, you have a 13th foundation. And 13 is rebellion. In the eyes of God, number 13 is rebellion. That's what number 13 represents. Rebel. Rebellious. Sin. Aggression. That's what it is. It contrary to God's touch and shadow. Do you see what I'm talking about? So when this mighty angel came down, he heard the loud voice and cried. And the Bible says, seven thunder after the voices down. Like it or not, the Bible says, John heard those thunders after their voices. He said, seven.
Don't come in the desk. Not seven. He said, heard someone, and he said, they heard someone, they heard someone, that they uttered their voices, their voices, their voices. And you know, they are all on the earth. Not in heaven. And John said, okay, let me write what they say. The voice of heaven says, sit up, John, don't you write it. If it's not written, you cannot preach it. If it's not written, you cannot teach it. Is that right? It's not inside here. And whatever the standard uttered has nothing to do with doctrine or any teaching regarding God and the Christian life. Because all that regarding God and Christian life and everything that's for us is in the Bible already there. So what the standard uttered is not known, so nobody knows, nobody knows. Right? And now that's last one. We're living in the days of the voice. The song has already taken place. Now we have another different ministry now. The voice of the archangel, which is Christ. The archangel, chief angel. That's to say, archangel, this chief angel, mighty angel. He's now speaking to the bride through the ministry. Without Malachi 4, there is no Ephesians 4. And like it or not, Malachi 4 cannot perfect the bride. If you can say the Malachi 4 perfect the bride, then Paul's a liar. Who do you want to make a liar? When you say that Malachi 4 perfect the bride, you're making Barabbas a liar, you're making Paul a liar. Isn't it? Because Paul said that Ephesians 4 ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers will perfect the bride. Is that right? That's what perfects the bride. It's not a one man ministry that perfects the bride, no. God and His ministers scattered all over the world. There are many churches that we do not know out there. They are in the same truth as we are.
Amen.
And we don't have to worry about that. Because you see, as I say many times, it is God's business. Right? Now God wants to send me to Fiji. I go. I didn't want to know the people, the brethren there. He came across our website. He wrote it. The God from his heart, he wrote me and told me, come over and have a convention for us. There are people that are scattered out there. There are apostles, prophets, and pastors, and teachers scattered around the world. Maybe in small group, not a big guy that you always heard about from America, Canada, because these are countries where the money is big, where they can travel. So you always know these guys. But not all these ministers are the truth. That's for sure, isn't it? So, what the thunder are, that we do not know. But certainly we know what the thunders are. You cannot deny the thunders. They have voices. They utter their voices. And how does God bring His word to the people? He always sends His men. His servants are prophets in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the apostles, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and so on. God always worked through men. Somebody says, no, I don't believe that. That's okay. You don't have to believe it. Because God comes, if you cannot see it, then it means you don't understand, you don't see, you cannot believe it. Obviously, I know, but it tells you to believe in it. But look at the word carefully. But here we have a man that says, when Brother Branham was revealing the seal in 63, he was in the room. One angel came to him every night. There were seven seals. So when he was bringing out the seven seals, those angels that came each night, those were the thunders. All the angels were the thunders. And one man, he said, one man, but Abraham, spoke for all the seven. That's kind of odd, isn't it? And that's where he says the thunder came forth when the seal was brought forth. You tell me that, doesn't it make any sense? John heard seven thunder utter the voices. And if those are seven, there are seven. You cannot say one man represents seven to bring forth all those seals as thunders. But seals, in the first place, were written. The thunders were not. And nobody knows what the thunders are. You can never preach what the thunders are. Tell me what the thunders are. That's why some people came up with all this strange thing, you know. Oh, one of them is a token, the other one is marriage and divorce. One is the serpent seed. They just did some of these seven messages. But they are the thunders. You know what Brother Branham said in simplicity? So the thunders will give you rapture in faith. The thunders will give you rapture in faith.
If you will give a rapturing faith, when was the seal unfold? 63. 63 until now is how many years? 41 years. 41 years. Isn't that right? Yeah, almost 41 years. And you're still here. And the people said that they already heard the thunders. And what are they still here? How long does it take to rapture? If you heard the word. Let me ask you, first prayer I always ask is that simple. Saving faith. With the day that you receive saving faith, the time that when you sit and you hear the gospel preached, and the Lord reveals you and gives you saving faith, how long it take to save you? 10 years time? 50 years time? Or the moment that you believe it? The moment that you receive it? The day you sit and hear the gospel and God come in your heart, you say, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. You repent. That's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You are convicted. You become a new man. He didn't take you 1 week, 24 hours later. He will not take you 1 year, 10 years later. And if you are hurt, now, if you sit down here, if you are sick, you are crippled, whatever it is. You know, there are cases where when Brother was preaching, there are cases where people sit and hear the word of God preached, right? About God being the healer. You go read F.F. Bosworth and some of the other books earlier on, the days of Theodore Osborne, you know, Oral Roberts, some of the testimonies. People said that they heard the word of God about God being the healer and so forth, and they were having affliction. The moment they believed in the Lord, they received that faith. They were healed instantly. They didn't say, wait until 40 years to be healed, you know. When they catch that, they got it. When you catch the gospel of faith, saving grace, you get it. The moment you hear it, you believe in it, you are saved. It didn't take you 40 years. That's what Abraham said. Tell us, when they come, when they speak the word, you will get rapturing faith. And rapturing faith, when you hear it, you're going to have a body changed. Hallelujah. You're going to have your body changed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to come by the word of God. That's why, you see, you like it or not, the pollution, the mighty angel came down. And as Paul said, Christ will be son of my hell, will be the shout. That's a message. That's a spoken word. Right? Not the Bible and reveal mystery by taking out the thing that is old, but taking together the thing that is new. He speak those things that the denomination never heard of, we never heard of, and was made known to us according to the word of the Lord. Is it, amen? A spoken word ministry. He passed away, he's gone. The Ephesians 4 came in now. Take the same thing. Take over. Continue with the ministry of the living word. And for things, all things new. Spoken word, faith coming by hearing. Build the church, exterminate the church. Edify them, building them. To grow in the grace of God. To come to the stature of the perfect man is Christ Jesus. Because he is the word of life, he is the book of life. We're going to eat of that little book. You understand? And it comes to a point when the church is matured. No longer tossed to and fro. Then what? As Demogenes, the five wives went into the marriage. The door is shut. Bam! Finished. When the door is shut, that means the face of the voice of the angel is over. Because the transformation of the bride for going home is going to take place. Metamorphosis is going to take place. Like the caterpillar eating that grass, eating the leaves until it is full, matured, went into a cocoon, hide itself inside there. The world cannot see what's going on. Brother Abraham said, we need a tenth vision. Remember the tenth vision? Just look down, he saw this tent. Then inside there, there was a little room. A little room within this tent. You know what that represents? That's where the church is, all big out there. But there is a little place where you have to go in. Brother Luke, he saw the man went in the wheelchair, came out pushing the wheelchair. Man crippled with the clutch, when he came out, holding the clutch. Amen. The angel told him, I'll meet you in there. When he went in, he said, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You know why he won't tell? Because those are spoken words. You cannot utter it. And you ain't got to go into that, and that's the third phase of the throne. It still will be spoken word. But when you went into the third phase of the throne, the church above God is shut in completely for the transformation now. And as Barbara said, we haven't had a revival yet. The revival that the church will have are all for sinners out there. They have miracle crusade, miracle campaign. People were healed. Miracles happened. They are for the sinners. But the bride has not had a revival yet. Wait till you have it. And God, as Barbara said, as God is my witness, I have never even noticed. Yet I preached until Brother Abraham came, and I heard the tape of Brother Abraham saying the same thing. So the church, that is sickly, crippled, no eyes, and all the various afflictions. God can never take this church up until the body is made whole.
Amen.
Amen. That's the reason why the revival must come. And there's no eye, you will have eye. When there's no leg, you will have leg. Man who is hunched will be straightened. And we will have a revival for the period of about 40 days. When the seven thunders come and utter the voice. When they speak, you will hear, your body is going to change.
Amen.
Your body is going to change. The Tasman, our brother over in Africa, brother in the Philippines, brother in India, they all had the same thing of what a thunder is all about. When I preached that over in Philippines, Brother Noy came up to me, Mr. Bergen, I want to tell you a dream that the sister had. The same thing exactly, you see. We had a meeting. The sister said, had a dream. We all have a meeting. And we were worshipping the Lord. And then here came in two men in white from the back of the church. They came in. Now, because they were strangers, everybody turned around and looked. They said something. And you know what the sister said in a dream? When the two men said something, she felt something was changing. Her body began to change. There was something about her hand began to change. And the woman left the scene. And everybody was looking at the hand, the body began to change. And that's what is going to happen. When you hear the thunder voice speak, your body is going to go into a revival. You are going to have something which the world will never see before. You're going to experience it. The world has their revival under the miracle campaign and so on. People who have no eyes and no legs, they have theirs. You remember? Brother Ben prayed for the man who in India with no eyes and the scale, the eye was blind. He could see. Even Oral Roberts, I believe it was Oral Roberts, take a man who was polio, having a calipers, could not stand, removed the caliper, took him and threw him down. Stand! He landed on his feet, completely whole. Believe that. Man who have a short leg, someone's campaign, one leg is at least 4 inches shorter. Put him down and pray for him, and the leg began to go. Just push it out. Believe that? Yes. Impossible. Wait till we have the revival come. Then you see what the world has seen. You read all those miracles that happen. People cough out the cancer. Huh? But wait till the miracle comes when our body begins to change. Making it whole, completely whole. And then, what we have, the capstone will come. The theophany will come and cap you and me. And then we'll meet with the dead coming out upon the scene, meet up with Christ in the air. That's what it is. All come by spoken word. Sharp spoken word. Voice spoken word. Trump. All spoken word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So there's only one household of God. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, there's only one. And there's only one gospel. Not two gospels. There are only 12 foundations. Not the main foundation. Like it or not. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Asking Father, Lord, that you break it down further. There are many things, Lord, that are hard to comprehend. Even in the days of Paul. Even in the days of the apostles. When Paul spoke of so much mysteries, Lord, about certain things, there were those that wrestled to their own damnation, Father. We're living in an hour when the prophet was sent to us. When he came, Father, there were so many things that he said that the denominational world cannot accept it, Lord, because it's too hard for them to comprehend. And they have wrestled it, Lord, to their own damnation, rejecting the prophet's message. But we are thankful, Father, you open our eyes to see, to understand, Lord, that you give us a message to bring us back to the Word, bring us back to the homeland of your promised Word, Lord. And as you said, Lord, to your prophet, that as long as Israel is not back to their homeland, they can never be prepared for the coming of the Messiah. So they must go back. And so, Lord, as long as we do not come back to the homeland of the promised word of God, we will not be able to come into that rapturing state, Lord. We ask for your grace, Father, to continue to work in our life. Bless the fellowship, Lord, as I go over to Fiji, praying that, Lord, you bless the meeting there too, Father. We commit this fellowship to your hand, Lord, and bless all the believers here, Lord, and all that comes here. the Lord if I placed in the household of God, a place to worship, a place to fellowship, O Lord, and a place to learn. So we thank you, Father. Keep watch over every one of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you.